Said, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. He's talking about some simple things from life, such as a woman puts some yeast into some dough, and the entire lump of dough is yeasty because of that first fruit, the yeast. If the root is holy, so are the branches. There's a necessary connection between them, and the root is the vital life of that tree. You can't solve problems by just looking at the branches. Yellow leaves on the branches may be, but the result of root rot. We have to get to the root problems. Did you ever wake up some morning and you just feel sick? You ache all over, you have a fever, your throat is sore, you feel terrible. But you get around and you take some aspirin, and in just a little while, you feel fine. Now, you understand you haven't cured whatever it is that's wrong with you. The aspirin's not a cure. The aspirin just treats the symptoms, and you feel better, but you're still sick. You may have to take some antibiotic to get rid of the infection. That is really the problem. That's really your ailment. In spiritual things, we must treat more than the symptoms. We're going to have to cure some basic heart problems before we're ever going to solve the problems that invade and disturb our lives. You remember last week we looked at the bitter root passage, Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now that bitter root is something we still want to pay some attention to. Those heart problems that are the root of all the difficulties that invade and trouble our lives. And I want to remind you, you can count on bitter roots. You can count on a bitter root to spring up. That's what the Hebrew writer was talking about. You don't have to worry about the Johnson grass in your garden. It needs no watering or fertilizing or pampering like the other things that you want to grow there. Your Johnson grass will grow. So you can count on bitter roots to grow up in your lives. Bad attitudes need no cultivation. They will spring up. You can count on it. And you can count on bitter roots to trouble you. Bitter roots never are without difficulty. They produce bitter fruit. Bad attitudes always erupt in evil words and evil deeds. Now then, let's read from James the third chapter. In verse 13 beginning, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if any of you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now this book of James is a book of down-to-earth practical lessons on living as a Christian. And yet as you look at this passage that we've read, there are two kinds of people described here. And the first people are characterized by having envying and strife in their hearts. The word that we have for envying is a Greek word that we've borrowed and we've made our word zeal from it. Now that word just meant to have a disposition that's stirred up, that's bubbling and boiling. And it could be either good or bad. It's not necessarily a bad word. But most of the time it's used in an unfavorable sense. And in this place, it's obviously a bad sense because the word bitter qualifies it. Now there's our bitter root again. If you have bitter envying, our bitter root showing up in the hearts, if you look at the passage, bitter envying and strife in your hearts. There's another word connected with envying. That word is strife, or a factious disposition. It is the attitude that promotes a party spirit, a factious interest in someone. And when you put these two words together, you're not describing two different things, envy and strife, are one characteristic of heart. They're described by two words, but they're one disposition that a person has. Now then, what is the result of having bitter envying and strife in your heart? What is that attitude productive of? In verse 16, where we read, "And where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Accompanying this disposition of heart is going to be confusion. That's disturbance and disruption. A person who has a factious spirit and an energetic and zealous factious spirit is going to cause trouble. You don't have to ask whether that'll happen or not. That kind of person will cause trouble. And not only will there be disturbance and confusion, but there's going to be all kinds of evil work. Now this word evil that's used in this phrase, you need to know is a word that describes worthless, not producing anything good. It's kind of like one of these trees. You may have, as I lived in the valley for a long time, an orange tree, but it was called a sour orange. It was a worthless kind of fruit that grew. Even though it looked pretty, it was worthless. It was sour. And the bitter root produces a worthless product in the last analysis. Now somebody may not realize just how bad this is. In verse 15 of the passage we've just read, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." Three words are used to describe what somebody may think is wisdom. It's from this world, as opposed to being from heaven. It's sensual. A word that psyche that's used to describe what animates the body. And here is a disposition that is only concerned about the physical things, about the body, rather than an emphasis, as it ought to be, upon spiritual things. And worse than that, the third word, it is devilish. It belongs to the devil and not to God. So don't treat as trivial a person that has bitter envying and strife in their heart. It's never going to produce anything good. It comes from the devil, and you know that all kinds of worthless work will necessarily come from it. You might not appreciate just how ugly this is until you see that James has contrasted two kinds of people. Some people that have bitter envying and strife in their life, and from this earthly wisdom, they produce all kinds of disturbance and evil work. But on the other side, there are some other people that are characterized by a wisdom that is from above. What is that wisdom like? What will it produce, and how would you describe the results of that wisdom? Well, it's pure and peaceable. and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. Now, do you notice the difference? If there's bitter envying and strife in the heart, there's going to be confusion and all kinds of worthless work. But where there is a disposition of the wisdom from above, these are the people who don't create disturbance, but they create peace. And the fruit of righteousness grows on that root. And they're peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. There's a lot of difference between the people who have one root or the other root in their hearts. If you looked at 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 20, Paul said, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swellings, tumults." This church at Corinth had been troubled. And the first letter Paul wrote to them was to correct a number of problems. And this second letter, though the first letter had received a generally good response and many problems had been corrected, you notice that he's disturbed at finding them as people not like he wanted to find them. And when he has the description made in verse 20, this envying and strife are characteristics that crop up again. That's our bitter root. And he was afraid that the bitter root would be found at Corinth. And as long as that bitter root was there, the branches that grew from it were going to be ugly things. We've said all kind of worthless work grew on this bitter root of envying and strife. Just look at what this passage shows. Along with envying and strife, there would be backbiting and whispering. They would be puffed up. There'd be pride and tumults. That's unsettled trouble. A whole collection of things that ought not to surprise you as being the branches that grow on a root like that. If you look at Philippians, the first chapter, in verse 14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." This letter of Paul is written from prison, and he describes in this brief paragraph two kinds of preachers. Under the statement of some preach, and then he turns the other direction and says, there are some others that preach. Now, of the first, he said, some preach Christ, even of envy and strife. You see, some of these preachers had the bitter root in their heart. And this envy and strife would certainly produce a kind of fruits, just like we've seen in other places, and Paul describes it. It was a preaching of Christ that produced contention. It was not sincerely. In verse 18, it was in pretense. And yet, I want you to see this. He makes no objection to the gospel that they preach. This is a heart problem. It's not a doctrinal problem. They preach the gospel. And Paul said, I rejoice in that Christ is preached, no matter what the motive may be. The truth is dispersed. And yet I also want you to see that when they preach the truth, their heart is set with a bitter root of envy and strife, and it will not produce peace, which the truth is ordinarily expected to produce. They do not intend to produce peace with men. In fact, their very purpose of preaching the gospel, it seems, whatever way they were exactly manipulating this, was to produce contention. They wanted to stir up trouble, and preaching the truth was simply the means of doing it. Some way or the other, they intended to add affliction to Paul's trouble in his imprisonment and bonds. That's the fruit of this envy and strife, the bitter root that was in their life. So even when they were teaching what was true, the bitter fruit produced an ugly crop. Just look to the next chapter where Paul says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." That's Philippians 2 and verse 3. Not anything that we touch can find its root in strife and vainglory and ultimately be to the glory of God.